Good morning. This is day number 5 of Attitude Adjustment. I'm Paul Pridecker, and welcome back to the host and mic.
Hey, Paul. I'm here.
We hear you loud and clear. Hey, okay, our friends from the Pilot Mental Health Campaign have been with us all week, and this morning we have another guest, so would you like to kick us off, please?
We're pleased to welcome Rob Zeglin, Dr. Rob Zeglin, who's the president of the Pilot Mental Health Campaign Board. He took that role earlier in the year. Rob is a licensed mental health clinician and a certified flight instructor and owns a private practice in Florida. He's got more than 20 years of experience in mental health care across clinical, academic, and leadership settings. And so he's leading the organization that in turn is leading the advocacy journey on Pilot Mental Health. So, Rob, welcome. We're glad to have you here, and we'd like to hear from you kind of a general update on reform of the policies that govern how pilots can seek mental health care.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And you were very gracious by saying I was leading the effort, but that's definitely a team effort. It's, you know, we got our wonderful executive director, Chris Finlayson, and his team over there, and I'm just the guy who gets to write the checks that lets them do all the amazing work they're doing. The timing is right for this conversation. We just got some good news a couple days ago that the Aviation Medication Transparency Act has made its way out of the Commerce Committee in the Senate. That was huge for us. We're hoping that the Mental Health and Aviation Act follows suit very soon. The Mental Health and Aviation Act actually passed through the House of Representatives unanimously. And so once there's reconciliation between the House and the Senate, hopefully that can get signed by the president here in short order this year and become law. And then hopefully the Aviation Medication Transparency Act will follow suit because we still need to get that through the House of Representatives.
So, Rob, in plain language, what does that mean, you know, for the pilots who could be affected by this?
It means that change is coming. The Pilot Mental Health Campaign has been working hard for 3 years to try to get this legislation written, passed, and getting the aviation community enthusiastic about it. And I think we're right there. We're right on the cusp of seeing that change happen, where pilots and air traffic controllers throughout the aviation community are going to be able to feel like they have access to mental health care. They're going to be able to realize that access by reaching out, asking for help, and not feel like their livelihoods and passions are threatened. And so that's coming. It's very soon.
So after the bills are signed, after they become law, there's probably some period of rulemaking that follows that, right? And and at the end of that, things actually begin to change, right?
Absolutely. The nice part about this, especially the Mental Health and Aviation Act, is that a lot of that work's almost kind of been done for us with the Aviation Rulemaking Committee from now 2 years ago that made 24 very concrete recommendations. And so they did a lot of the legwork in figuring out where can the FAA and other aviation stakeholders across the industry be the most helpful for pilots, especially pilots who may be experiencing mental health concerns, mental health struggles. And so a lot of the heavy lifting on how do you take a bill and make it tangible for pilots has largely been done by the ARC, the Aviation Rulemaking Committee. And so, yes, there will be a period of rulemaking and policy implementation, but the Mental Health and Aviation Act specifically asks that the 24 recommendations of the ARC be implemented. So that work's been done. It's online. Pilots can read it and see all the work we've been advocating for.
I'm familiar with ARCs and rulemaking and recommendation reports. It can be a long process, but as you kind of look a little bit out ahead, how do you see the time? What are the milestones that you see in the future?
Yeah, I think in the short term, obviously we're hoping that the Mental Health and Aviation Act is the next thing that's going to come out of the responsible committee in the Senate. That will hopefully get through the Senate expeditiously because we already have its sister bill in the House, like I said, ready to go for reconciliation. So I think that'll be the biggest milestone that's next. And that's also the one that implements the ARC recommendations. And that will have the widest sweeping impact across the aviation industry for pilots, air traffic controllers, and really any stakeholder that flies with or trains pilots.
So in the interim, what if anything, is changing already?
That's a really great question. More has changed in aviation mental health in the last 2 years than in the previous two decades combined. The FAA has been an ally in that, in the last 2 years has communicated more clearly what their expectations about mental health are, including reporting mental health and seeking mental health care. For example, there are now a list of mental health diagnoses that are called the CAN issue diagnoses that pilots can actually go get counseling today. And by and large, as long as the diagnosis of record is one on that list that the FAA has published, their AME can still issue a medical right there in the office.
Are you talking specifically like talk therapy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, AFIRM, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I do in my private practice that, you know, if a pilot feels like they need to go seek out licensed mental health care, they can do that. The FAA has published documents just 2 months ago now, helping give pilots the language to help navigate those conversations with their clinicians so that the clinician also understands how important diagnosis is, because the FAA really does right now pay attention to diagnoses. The Mental Health and Aviation Act will change that a bit, but right now the focus for the FAA is on diagnoses, but they have communicated to pilots and to the aviation industry the list of diagnoses that allow them to still get a medical from their AME, which was huge.
It's good progress.
Yeah.
We're talking with Rob Zeglin, who is the president of the board of the Pilots Mental Health Campaign. Paul, you and I were talking about a particular issue between private and commercial aviation earlier today.
Yeah. I'd like to toss this one up for you, Rob.
Okay.
Is most of what we're talking about dealing with people who are in a 121 or 135 operation, where we're talking about mainly first class medicals, or are we casting a wider net across everybody?
That's a great question. Of course, I think that's the first thing that folks think of is the 121 world, especially because that is where most folks whose livelihoods are impacted are likely to experience that. But one of the recommendations within the ARC is that the mental health decision-making for medical issuance kind of follow the first class, second class, third class trend, where perhaps the 121 first class medicals do have something a little bit more restrictive or safety focused. And then that will be on a kind of a gradient through the second class down to the third class, allowing folks in GA, where I spent, you know, 1600 hours of my life, you know, flying and training, that folks there can fly under the allowances of a third class medical. And then as they move up towards the first class, the restrictions move with it.
Just like the other parameters necessary to get a medical.
Said it. Yeah. Yep.
So right now, that's not the case, I suppose.
Right now, it's not the case because everything right now is still very diagnosis based. And so once any two people with the same diagnosis kind of present that diagnosis on their documentation, they're largely treated the exact same, even though their symptoms may be different, their experiences may be different, their timelines may be different. By and large, they're treated somewhat similarly. And the Mental Health and Aviation Act would change that.
If we are at this table next year, will you have declared success?
On this front, yeah. The Pilot Mental Health Campaign is doing a lot more than just advocating for the Mental Health and Aviation Act and the Aviation Medication Transparency Act. We are actively supporting pilots. We are actively providing education and support to pilots. And our strategic plan lays out kind of what's next for us. One of the recommendations of the ARC is for the FAA to work with stakeholders across the industry to hold, for example, a mental health summit for pilots, an aviation mental health summit. And I think the Pilot Mental Health Campaign would love to be a principal stakeholder in that effort. We have big plans for the future, even after MHAA and AMTA pass.
This may be a bigger question than is appropriate for the amount of time we have left, but I'm thinking about how encouragement can come from both stories and the expertise of individuals that are tied to the Pilot Mental Health Campaign. How do you see that playing out?
You are exactly right. One of the things that we know helps break down barriers to care access is having peers who have stories to share that help normalize or model that seeking of care. And there are the Pilot Mental Health Campaign and other partner and sister organizations are actively trying to get those stories out. The Pilot Mental Health Campaign right now does have a series of stories. If you go to Pilot Mental Health, our website, and sign up to receive our newsletter, you will see those stories from other pilots who have navigated their own mental health histories and struggles and how they're, you know, healthier and happier for it.
What's that website again?
The Pilot Mental Health Campaign, so pmhc.org.
PMHC.org.
Yeah, I do think, Mike, you're right in bringing that up, because this is really about education and marketing, really, that this is out there. And it's been such a roadblock for years, but it really seems like your group and others have made a lot of progress. So I just wanted to acknowledge that you told me, you know, as we met just a few minutes ago, something's happening to you on Monday. What is that?
I was lucky enough to get the I was interviewed for an airline, and I was lucky enough to get the welcome to fly with them on Monday. I'm still holding the name of the airline to my chest, but I'm very excited. It is a dream come true.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Rob Zeglin of Pilot Mental Health Campaign. This is Attitude Adjustment on EAA Radio.